As I begin today, I just want to swear to you that everything I say today is going to be true. Scout's honor. In fact, I swear on a stack of Bibles, I cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. I don't know about you, but I've always thought it was just a little bit suspicious anytime somebody has to go to those lengths to assure you that they're telling the truth. Just something not quite right about that. And Jesus actually spoke to this. He said, and we're going to be talking about this today, all you really need is a yes or a no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one, he said. And so when you saw the title concerning swearing on your bulletin, you might have thought, And I am going to talk about that because it does relate to that. But this is really what Jesus was getting at in the section of the Sermon on the Mount we're going to be reading today, which is found in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 33. This is the third in a series of sayings of Jesus where he begins by saying, "You have heard that it was said of old," or to people of ancient times, "but I say to you," again, "you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no." Anything more than this comes from the evil one. Now, what we've noticed over the past couple of weeks is that what Jesus is doing here is he is giving us typically a part of the law. Normally, it's one of the Ten Commandments, for instance, and then he's kind of taking it to the next level. So, for instance, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the sixth commandment, "You shall not kill." We talked about how that's a really low bar for faithfulness. Right? You just didn't murder anybody. Good for you. But Jesus says, you know what? You've got to go beyond that. So he said, "You've heard that it was said, you shall not kill. But I say to you, if you are angry with a brother or a sister, you're already started down that path." It's all part of a spectrum. And when you allow that anger to grow and fester in you, you're as good as one who does actually murder somebody. Last week, we talked about the seventh commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Same thing. If we allow that seed, that thought, that fantasy to grow into our hearts, in our minds, until it blossoms into something that's terribly destructive, we've got a problem. And that's how it always begins, with a thought, with a fantasy that we encourage, that we allow to take root in our lives. Now, you may have noticed that what Jesus quoted today wasn't actually a direct quote from a commandment, but it does relate, and you'll see why here. The section that he quotes from is actually from the law. It's from Leviticus, but it's from a section where God is talking about dealing honestly in our business with other people and personal integrity. So he says, "You shall not," this is God speaking to Israel through Moses, "you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. You shall not swear falsely by my name so as to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." And so what he's talking about there is swearing on God's name. And of course, if you swear to something on God's name and you don't follow through with it, well, you've put God's reputation on the line. You have used God's name in vain. Okay? Now, if that sounds familiar, it's because that's the third commandment. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Third commandment, it's early in the commandments. It's important, really important. And so there's been a lot of discussion about what this means, what this commandment actually means, and there's been a number of different interpretations of it. Probably the most common, most popular interpretation of this is one that probably comes to your mind when you hear the third commandment, and that is that it's about swearing and about profanity. Thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And I grew up, for instance, knowing that you just don't use God's name unless you're praying or you're at church or it has something to do with it, certainly not when you're mad or whatever. Miss Kathy has a t-shirt she was telling me about that it's really appropriate. She wears it sometimes to remind people that this is an issue too. Anyway, it goes like this: God's name, last name, is not damn it. So you can you can share that with maybe somebody in your life that needs to hear that. It's not. So you know, swearing is something that we're supposed to avoid. But it's so easy to go there. It just is. It's so easy for us to just let loose with a string of them. And the reason for that, there's a physiological reason for this. I read somewhere that the profanity, the curse words that we know, that we all know, are actually stored in a different part of our brain that's normally associated with language. Okay? They're actually stored in the most primitive part of our brain, the limbic brain, they call it. Which is why, you may have seen this happen before, I have, somebody has a stroke, and the language part of their brain is destroyed or is offline, but they can still cuss like a sailor. It's really disturbing, but it happens. Actually, it happens all the time. That's how primitive this is and why it's so easy for us to go there. I can remember as a kid, one of my earliest memories, actually, I discovered that if I yelled into the fan on the air conditioner unit behind my house, that it would make my voice sound funny, which I thought was really cool. So I showed a neighbor kid who probably wasn't the best influence on me, and I probably wasn't the best influence on him. Anyway, we thought it would be really funny if we yelled every curse word we could think of into that fan without thinking about who else might be listening, including my neighbor lady, who didn't like me anyway, and my mother. So that was the first of several times that I remember having my mouth washed out with soap. I don't know if your moms ever did that to you. I don't know what that whole thing was about, but I know I didn't like it. So cursing and swearing is something that we want to avoid. You can control it. I don't care how primitive it is. You can control it, and you should control it. Because it is, we just don't casually throw God's name around, okay? That's it. However, let me do say that I think that is not nearly as big a deal as what Jesus is talking about today, okay? So I want to take this, we're going to take it to the next level. What Jesus is talking about here isn't profanity or cursing. He's talking about oath-taking. And oath-taking was a really big deal back then because they didn't have lawyers, they didn't have contracts, they didn't have notary publics and stuff like that. So when people would make deals, all they really had was their word, and they would kind of add to that through swearing. So they would say, for instance, they would say, "I swear to you by the temple in Jerusalem that I will pay you back the money that I owe you." Or they might say, I swear to you by God's name that I will follow through with what I say." And then, of course, kind of like today, they were looking for loopholes. And so they would say, "Well, wait a minute, I swore to you by the temple. I didn't swear to you by God's name that I would do that. So therefore, I'm not obligated to fulfill my part of the deal." And this happened all the time. And Jesus said, no, don't swear at all. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's all you have to do. You don't really need to do anything more than that. And when you do, what happens is, again, you're putting God's reputation on the line. Of course, we swear to protect our own reputation, but here's the thing. Jesus is less concerned about protecting your reputation than he is about protecting God's good name. That's what he cares about. And when we associate God's name with our bad behavior, our bad example, we're putting his reputation on the line. You see why that's a big issue? There's a story, I've heard this, you may have heard this before too, perfect illustration of this. Gentleman is on his way to work one morning, and he's sitting in traffic, he's behind a woman who's sitting at this red light, she's going through some papers on her front seat. She doesn't notice that the light turns green. He sits there for a couple seconds, and he just flies off the handle, and he's yelling, and he's cursing, and he's pounding on the steering wheel, and he's just having a fit. All of a sudden, he's interrupted by a police officer with a gun drawn. And next thing he knows, he's in the back of the squad car. Next thing he knows, he's in a holding cell at the jail. A couple hours pass. The arresting officer comes and says, "Okay, sir, you're free to go." And the man says, "Well, I didn't think you could arrest me and hold me for yelling inside my own car." And the officer said, "Oh, I didn't arrest you for that." He said, "I noticed you were yelling, and I thought, what a jerk, but there's nothing I could do about that." He said, "But then I noticed there was a cross hanging from your mirror, and I noticed a bumper sticker on your back end that said, 'Jesus is coming soon.' And the only thing I could think of was, this guy must have stolen that car." The only thing that made sense. If you are going to associate God's name with you, if you're going to claim to be a Christian, a person of faith, then you very well better act like it. Your walk and your talk should match, because if they don't, and it's out there that you are a believer, people are watching, and they notice when those things don't match. I do have to confess that sometimes when somebody comes on really strong in this regard, and I mean they really want you to know that they're a disciple, they're a Christian, they're a believer. Whether it's an individual or a business, I've always been just a little bit suspicious. Sometimes it seems like you're just trying to emphasize that just a little bit too much. And I found out here recently, I read something that I guess I'm not the only one. There was this guy ran a bunch of newspapers in the Midwest. He was responsible for setting the advertising policy for these newspapers, and he sent out a memo to all of his account managers. And it said that if any of their clients used Christian symbols or Bible verses on their business cards or on their stationery, that they had to pay cash up front. Okay? He wasn't anti-Christian. What he discovered is that those folks oftentimes were the worst ones to pay their bills. Okay? That's a problem. I mean, if that happens, and I'm sure it does, it is a problem. And maybe it isn't always a problem, but you have to be careful. If you're going to put that out there, then you need to be careful. That's why I don't have any bumper stickers on my car. I just don't want to run the risk. And I try to behave myself. And just your actions need to match your words, always. When they don't match, what that is hypocrisy. When they don't match, that's what that looks like. And that's a problem for us. And it's only a problem for us. Okay, I want you to think about that. If you don't claim to have any spiritual standards or any moral standards, you're not claiming to live up to anything in particular. Think of the people that Jesus had the most problems with. It wasn't the sinners, it wasn't the tax collectors or the prostitutes. They weren't claiming to be anything other than what they were. It was the Pharisees. It was the religious leaders who were saying one thing, doing another. Who were making big claims about who they were and about their faith, and they were living their lives in ways that profaned God's name. So our words and our actions should always work together. They should what we do and what we say should mesh. One of the best compliments I ever got along these lines was a number of years ago from a neighbor who became a good friend of mine. And how our friendship started was he moved in across the street. They had kids about the same age as my kids, and so they would play and we would talk. And we were both overweight, and we decided, you know what, we need to go out and start walking. So every night we would go out and we would walk in our neighborhood. And the more we got to know each other, the more we found we had some things in common. For instance, we found out we both really liked hot wings at BW3's. And there was a BW3's about a half mile from our house. So about twice a week, instead of walking around our neighborhood, we would walk to BW3's and have hot wings and beer. And then we would walk home again. The upshot of that is that we didn't lose any weight at all. We had a lot of fun. But the good thing that came out of it was that he and his whole family started going to our church. And they became members. And I became not just his friend, but his pastor too. And then one night he said something to me I'll never forget. Like I said, nicest thing that anybody ever said to me. I still treasure it. He said, David, the thing I like most about you is that you are the same whether you're at home or at church or at BW3's or out walking or wherever we're at. And I still, to this day, try to live up to that. I still want that to be true in my life. But it's something I have to work at. I think it's something that we all have to work at. The legendary UCLA coach, John Wooden, used to talk a lot to his players about character and how important it is, which is really, that's what this is. This is a message about character. It's about who we are on the inside, matching who we are on the outside. So he used to say, be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. It's good when both of them are good, but be more concerned about one than the other. He also used to say, the true test of a man's character is what he does when no one is watching. Well, there's nothing more true than that. And that's really what Jesus is getting at throughout the Sermon on the Mount. A little bit after what we just read today, Jesus is again talking about the Pharisees, about how they do everything for show. They pray, they fast, they give. Everything is done for show. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So that's just another way of saying, stop trying so hard to look good and just be good and do good. And your Father who is in heaven will see and he will be pleased. Let's pray. Lord, you've given us such a great example in Jesus Christ, who lived his life, who sacrificed his life, not so concerned about his reputation, but more concerned about being a faithful son, an example for us, a model for how we might live our lives. Help us to live up to that example in all that we say and all that we do, for we ask this in Jesus' name.